in the power and might of the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is our teacher.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just come before you, thanking you for your word that we're about to receive, the feast with which we're about to partake. That is the bread of life, Father God. And we thank you that we gather to get to know more about you, who you really are. There's too many who don't know who you are. They claim to be your children, but have no idea who their daddy is. We come to find out more about you, Father. Teach us. Let us put on the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and learn of you.
Thank you, Lord.
That we may find rest, easing, and relieving and refreshing of our souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In Jesus' holy name,
Jesus.
Amen. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
We are beginning our continuing our series, rather, on the God of the Bible, and we're talking about the sovereignty of God. So let's turn to the foundation text concerning the sovereignty of God. That's back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's begin with the 13th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with the 13th verse. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. We're talking about the God of the Bible, not just this God that a whole lot of folks are talking about. Everyone, the old folks used to say, the old saints used to say, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Amen. A lot of folks talking about heaven, a lot of folks talking about God. Amen. But let's get it clear of who we are talking about. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things. And what's implied, in the presence of Christ Jesus,
yes,
who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about in his own time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, King James, potentate, the absolute ruler, the King of kings, or the King of those who reign as kings, and he's the Lord of lords, or the Lord of those who rule as lords. Verse 16, he alone, by himself and no other, possesses immortality. That word means he is absolutely exempt from every kind of death. That's a mighty God.
Amen.
And lives in unapproachable light. To him, a light which no man has ever seen or can see. Here's the doxology. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen. So be it.
Amen.
We read that again as a foundation text, focusing again on verse 15, the C portion of the verse, the B portion, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, King of those who reign as kings, Lord of those who rule as lords. That's, we're focusing on that majestic characteristic, the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty, again, is dunastes in the Greek. The cousin to that word is dunamis. It means to be able, to have ability, to have power. Why go over this over and over again? Because we're just barely getting it into our minds, let alone down into our hearts. The way to the heart is through the head, and way to the head is through the ears. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we say it over and over and over and over and over again. Sovereignty means dunastes, and dunastes is kin to the word dunamis, and it means to be able or to have ability, to have power. And since God is the only one who is able, since he's the only one who has the power, these facts alone make him the absolute ruler.
Amen.
again, by way of review, and then we'll get started on the verses. To say that God is sovereign means that he is a sole controller. He's independent. He's autonomous. He possesses unilateral authority. And lastly, God being sovereign means that God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. Amen. And there is no one that can stay in the King James and Daniel or thwart his hand or his purpose, and no one can stop his hand. We serve a mighty, powerful, faithful, able, sovereign God.
Amen.
And that God is our Father if you're born again. That's my Lord. Glory be to God. We can close up and go home. Hallelujah. That's enough to meditate on for an eternity.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. No one can thwart his purpose. He's working everything, all things, anything for his good in eternity and for our good in time. That's a mighty God. All right. Now we're going to finally get to the scriptures that talk about this incredible, holy, perfect perfection. Look at Exodus. Let's kick it off with Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Now you're going to hear some things in here in God's sovereignty that's going to throw you a little bit. That's all right. We're going to catch you. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Again, we're talking about the perfect perfection known as the sovereignty of God. I love that. I'm stealing that from one of the preachers. He is perfect in all of his perfections.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Exodus 4:11. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf,
yes,
or seeing or blind?"
Yes.
Look at this. "Is it not I, the Lord?"
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's the Lord God speaking. We wanna that kind of throw God out, you know, kind of make the devil almost sovereign.
Yeah.
Got to be careful on that.
Watch yourself.
Because you got to realize that Satan is a created being. I know you heard this before, but you got to remind yourself about that. He's a created being. The devil did not make himself.
No, he didn't.
So in eternity past, God saw the angel of light that he created,
yes,
would then become, as Ezekiel, Jeremiah, one of them said, till iniquity was found in him.
Uh-huh.
Then God saw the day that iniquity was found in Lucifer, the angel of light,
uh-huh,
and he became Satan, the accuser of the brother.
Yeah.
God saw all of that before time began.
Before the foundation of the world.
And as Luther said, the devil is God's devil. He is certainly not out of control. He is certainly not a devil that was like a rabid-eyed dog that broke away from God, the master, and broke the leash and running all over the world doing things. And God is running behind the devil, trying to get him and catch him and release him. Hold back on to him. That's not what's going on. God saw it all. He saw every single move Satan would make before Satan was ever created. Now that's hard for people to accept that. But those are facts. And if God chooses someone to go blind, if God chooses someone to be mute, deaf, is it not I, the Lord? If he didn't do it directly, meaning actively,
he allowed it
passively.
Amen.
That's the sovereignty of God. That's why this doctrine is not a popular doctrine. Folks don't want to hear this. But if you don't want to say that God is sovereign, then anytime you take away any of God's perfect perfections, then at that moment, you're not serving the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is sovereign.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You read it right there. The Lord said, and this is the Lord speaking himself, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or sing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" This is straight from the mouth of God saying, I do that. I do that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Did I say 32? Yeah. And verse 39. When I get real excited, I get to mixing up words and saying wrong chapters and everything. So, amen, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Seeing now that I am he.
Yes.
I just love the powerful word of God. This is nobody's opinion. No one's, well, I think philosophies. And I remember Brother Lance always have conversation and he rejoices in the word of God. He said, especially when it comes to, you know, his future wife. And said, me and my wife, we get to talking. And he said, you know, it's like I can have one opinion and she can have another, but that word settles everything. The word settles everything. I remember me and my wife in the early years, year one or two of marriage, and I told her something, and said, you gotta show me. She got real black on me. You gotta show me. The neck got Goodyear rubber. You gotta show me. Yeah. Then my wife, she said, you gotta show me that. And you know what? Thank God. Able to go to the word. When she saw it, like, there it is. All matters settled. Period. We're reading God's word himself, and he's speaking. He said, see now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. Thank you, Lord.
That's what he said.
And it is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. That's straight gangster.
You know what I'm saying?
Hallelujah. The devil can do nothing beyond what God allows him to do. When my father died in July 11th, 1968, shortly after 8 p.m., God allowed that 47-year-old man with five children and a 37-year-old wife to leave this earth at that time. God allowed that. We don't understand why, but I do know this, that God worked that to his good in eternity and our good in time, because he said that's what he does.
Yeah.
You don't have to understand it, just believe it.
Amen.
You don't understand, maybe you do. I don't understand how a picture is travels through the airwaves and shows up on my screen, flat screen TV. I don't understand that. Does that mean I'm not gonna watch? Well, I ain't gonna watch TV. Forget it. I don't know how it works. I ain't gonna use this phone. I don't know how somebody can talk to me from across the world and they voice materialize in my ear. If you're not gonna use and believe anything you don't understand, then you would never use nothing. I mean, you wouldn't drive a car. How does a car have gas and fire and don't blow up? I don't know, but we still use it. Well, why not God? I don't understand God. You don't have to understand him. You never will understand him per se. The bits, the crumbs he gives us is more than enough to munch on forever.
Amen.
Just take his word. He said, I'm God. I am he. I give life. I bring death. I do that. We bow down to your will.
Amen.
Look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. You realize this, y'all. See, when I was in the other church, deep in charismania, if you will, basically I was taught that everything bad happened was the devil and everything good was God. That's too simplistic. That's an oversimplification. There's a whole lot that got to go on behind that. Because when things happen to us that are bad, in a sense, you have to realize that God is allowing it every single time. Now, the cause of why is where it gets a bit complicated, because some people are in disobedience and they're reaping what they sow. Yeah, amen. Some people are being tested like Job. There are multi myriad of reasons as to why, quote unquote, bad things are happening. But, so we don't even, that's none of our business. But realize God is never out of control or completely away from the situation, because he saw it happen before the foundation of the world.
And this only attests your past.
Nothing surprises God. Amen. Nothing surprises God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol, which is the realm of the dead, and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. Oh. Why is he singing crazy like that? Because it was God who put President Donald J. Trump in the White House. Now, see, this church already know that. So y'all just leaving that. Okay, we heard that before. We still got to be reminded. Let's go back to it now. Verse 7, the B portion. He brings low, he also exalts. Does it confuse us sometimes? Yes, because why did God allow an Adolf Hitler to be exalted? Other dictators, Idi Amin, Juan and Evita Perón, or Joseph Stalin, and on. God uses everything, evil and good, for his glory. Like, he gave us a little peek into why he let Pharaoh get up there in Romans chapter 9. He said, I raised you up to show you my power. He said, I let you get into power, because at that time, the children, listen to this. At that time, the children of Israel were under the most powerful man in the universe, amen. Pharaoh. The Pharaoh of Egypt at that time. You follow me? And they knew there's no way we can get up out of here. So I'm going to let you be up under this guy. And you're going to be in slavery for 400 years. And then I'm going to show my power to be greater than the most powerful man on the earth. And then you'll trust me and not him or any other man. I, the Lord, am the most powerful, my children. And that's what he did. So in Romans 9, he says, I raised Pharaoh up to show my power. See, there's always a reason why he lets evil come up. Sometimes he gives us glimpses like he did Pharaoh. Pharaoh was an evil person. But he gave us the behind the scenes. I allowed him to come up so that I can demonstrate my power. So there's always a reason to the things that don't make sense to us. Why you let a Charles Mills Manson be born and rent that ranch out there in Death Valley and have all them runaway kids come to him and then go out and commit murder and mayhem like never before? Why? There's reason in everything. God is a God of order. He's a God of reason. We're the ones that don't understand. And if we don't understand, y'all, that's okay. Amen. That's okay. We need to really accept that. It's okay not to understand God. After all, his ways are, and his thoughts are far above ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth, which are billions of miles apart. It's okay not to understand God. Just accept what he says and trust it. Well, God said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not. We still read. Lord have mercy. That was just 6 and 7, okay? Wow. Verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust. Have we not seen that? think about, wow, there's so many. I think about the Ray Charles story, about George Washington Carver. Take a peanut and have 54 things out of that, that's super crazy. Incredible. A peanut, you get oil, you get butter from it. I mean, all kind of things. But that's what God does. He raises those from the poor, from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
To make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. Wow. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. Case closed again. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is powerful. This is the God that you serve. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that we serve.
Amen.
But we know too little about him. And Father God, help us to know more about you. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11. If you're taking notes, that other one, that was 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 6 through 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11 and 12. We're going to read 11 and 12. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, comma, indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Hallelujah. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone.
Hallelujah.
Anytime we can get up, anytime we can sit down, anytime we can think, anytime we can open our mouths and speak, it's because of the power, the strength, the ability, the greatness of God.
Yes. Glory
to God.
Yes.
But you know what? Anytime we can get up, anytime we can't speak, anytime we can't even use the bathroom, it's because of the strength, the power, and the greatness of God. For it is in his hand to make great or to demote.
Amen.
And the challenge is for us to say, glory be to God, blessed be the name of the Lord, just like Job did anyway. We love to say, blessed be the Lord, when everything, oh, you got a raise, and your health report is good, and you just got married, and your wife ain't crazy, and the in-laws ain't outlaws. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But your son just got killed, your husband just died, the wife just died suddenly, you know, your daughter ran off with some fool. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he's still worthy, even when all hell breaks loose. He is still worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 9.
Yes.
Psalm 33, verse 9 through 11. Psalm 33. The 33rd stanza. Beginning with verse 9. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 9, Psalm 33, verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Stop right there. Amen, Ms. Linda. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. What do you mean stood fast? It didn't happen and then disappeared or slipped and oops. Once he speaks, it's going to stand fast. Yeah. He spoke the earth into existence. It is still rotating.
Amen.
At a 24 hour on a day, and it's still revolving around the sun once per year. Been doing that since it came into existence. It is still tilted at 23.5 degrees from the sun. 1 degree closer, we all burn up. 1 degree further, we all freeze. It's just perfect. And at that 23.5 degree tilt, as it's rotating and revolving, all that is happening all at the same time. Why? Because he spoke and it was done, and he commanded and it stood fast. It doesn't change. Now sin hit, and when sin hit, the earth is decaying. Word of God, so it's groaning. It's the word of God. I love how Romans 8 personifies the earth. He makes it like a person. And he said, because of the weight of sin against the actual atmosphere, the ground, and the things of this, the elements of this earth, right, it is groaning.
Yeah.
Waiting for its redemption. So he's gonna burn all this up. That's why you gotta throw all this away and start all over.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you hold me now. Oh, watch yourself. Glory be to God. Let's read it again. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Verse 10. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. We're going to amplify that.
Yes.
Look here, y'all. Don't fret about what folks talking about, politicians and all. Yes. Don't fret.
No.
God is still God.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to put a little commentary on verse 10. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. What's the counsel of the nations happening right now? Abortion. Same-sex marriage,
yes.
Racism, classism, sexism.
Yes.
All are designed to unseat God, to disregard his will, his plan, and his purpose. The word of God says he nullifies the counsel of nations. All man gets is the middle. We don't quite say that right, you know. You know, remember God has the last word. He had the first word too.
Come on now.
He had the first and the last. We get the middle. It's sandwiched around the first and last. God got the first thing. He let you say a little something, but eventually I'm gonna nullify all that. Scoot.
You see.
When God say you're done, guess what? You're done.
Amen.
When we talk about man's free will, let's go to seminary right quick. Man's free will. Man has free will. But his free will is limited. What do you mean by that? I have the freedom to raise my hand, drop my hand. Raise my arm, rather, drop my arm. As soon as God say, you ain't going to raise your hand again, I'll never raise that right arm again. I had free will, but God's free will trumps my will. We talked about parents, right? Parents with the children. Little Johnny, little Susu, going out and play. 8 o'clock, whatever street lights come on, be in his house. So while they're out there, they can do play. They can go ring around the road. They can play marbles. They can play with dolls, whatever. They're freedom to do. But their freedom ends when the street lights come on, because mama and daddy's freedom over Trump or Trump stays. You follow me? That's the same thing with God.
Yeah.
We're free to do. That's why folks out here killing. God ain't making people kill people. He's allowing it, but they know what they want to do. But Revelation 19, the Lord is coming back,
yes,
and going to clear up all of this once and for all. Like it's over with. God is in full control.
Yes, he is.
So he says here, verse 10 again, Psalm 33, verse 10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations.
Yeah.
Let's just look at that right quick. Nullifies. You know, I love synonyms. He invalidates, he annuls, he abolishes, reverses, or quashes. Yeah. Squash that. That's what the Lord does. The counsel of the nations. Oh, we're not through. the B portion of verse 10. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. He frustrates the plans of the people. Frustrate, aggravate, irritate, exasperate, upset, disturb, annoy, bother, discourage, vexes the plans of the people. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. Hold on. Are they getting on me too fast? The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations, comma, but the counsel of the Lord stands forever. You see that? As opposed to the counsel of the nations, which is nullified by God. Counsel of the nations is nullified, and the counsel of the Lord then is allowed to stand forever. Does that make sense? You see the juxtaposition of that. Verse 11, the B portion. The plans of his heart, talking about God's plans, God's thoughts, God's motives, from generation to generation. So the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. You don't ever have to worry about God not coming through on his promises or any of his word becoming untrue or being nullified or becoming null and void. Ever. Psalm 119:89 says that the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled, fixed, firmly established in heaven forever.
That's,
come on, somebody. Believe that. Talking to a young man that called me yesterday, and he wants to talk about prayer. You know, and he was just going on about prayer. And I said, you know, I'm looking for people passing about prayer and prayer. I said, yeah, prayer is very important, but you know, I just don't really see the passion of prayer in the people today and in the church today and this and that. I said, well, you got to realize that at the root is not prayerlessness. It's a disappearance of the word of God from the pulpits. And if you don't teach the word of God, then you don't know who God is. Then, of course, they're going to lose passion of prayer because they don't know who they're praying to.
Amen.
They don't know him. That shut it all down. I said, yeah. I said, it's the word. It's the word. You got to know the word. Because prayer, it comes from the word. Your prayers ought to be based on the word. Because the word of God is the will of God. That's what I'm talking about. I get him to understand that. Everything goes back to the word. You know, and beware. Beware. When folks start talking to you about like just one thing, on, because my antenna is raised way up quickly. I said, something not right with this conversation.
Gotta make a doctrine.
Yeah, I'm like, no, this is not right. Because when you see, everything should be balanced. I told him, I said, our church is very passionate about prayer. I said, but we teach the word of God and we know who God is. We're learning who this God is. So because we understand who he is, that he's sovereign, he's mighty, he's faithful, he's true, he's just, he's holy, then we can pray to that God.
According to his word.
I said, you got to understand that it starts with the word. That's at the root of all of this.
Amen.
You're missing out on the point, sir.
Amen.
And he said, you're very passionate about the word. I said, yes, sir, I am. Very much so. I want to see you follow that same thing, you know. Get balance. Don't have things imbalanced. You get your vertical right, everything will flow right out of that. I told him, I said, real Christians are passing a prayer. We pray 24/7, really, because we're in contact with God all day, every day.
Amen.
That's what I'm telling him. I said, we pray without ceasing. Number one, Jesus said, man, always pray and not faint.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing means to pray perseveringly. I said, that means we're all prayer warriors. And he wants to use the word warriors. I said, we are supposed to be prayer warriors. Because we are to pray perseveringly, and we are to pray, Jesus said, and not faint or give up.
Yeah,
so you got to power through and keep praying.
Yeah,
so we are that church. that he just, he got it later. He got it later. That's why, again, side note, remember, keep praying for your cousins, nieces, uncles, aunties, sisters, brothers, like they're just getting crazy. The more you pray, the crazier they get.
Amen.
And Jesus knows that. That's why he tells us we ought to pray and not faint and not give up, because we'll be tempted to give up. Paul, his letter to the church of Thessalonica, says, pray without ceasing, or to pray perseveringly. Yeah. Pray, keep praying in the face of. That's where your warrior got to come into. It's not about bombarding the gates of heaven. It's about just praying until the Lord says, okay, either don't stop or you're going to answer. But keep praying. There are brothers out there, sisters out there, cousins, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunties, mothers, fathers that need your prayer. They need your prayer. Amen? The children need your prayer. You need it. So keep praying, because it is the Lord who is above all of that. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. I have in my notes here the plans of his heart, God's heart. God's plans, God's thoughts, God's motives that come from his innermost being, as opposed to the plans, thoughts, and motives of the people. So God's plans that come from his heart, his thoughts, motives, and that come from his innermost being, they are from generation to generation, meaning are everlasting or last forever. Someone once wrote, the whole history of the world is the uninterrupted carrying out of God's divine plan of salvation. Boy, that's rich. I'm going to say that again. The whole history of the world is the uninterrupted carrying out of God's divine plan of salvation. Because Peter lets us know the reason when people start to scoff and say, man, ain't nothing going on. He ain't coming back. The world is going on as it is. He said, no, I got more folk I got to save. That's the elect. There are more people. You know there are people who haven't been born that's going to be saved. Think about that. There are many, many, many more people that have not even been born that are going to be saved. So they got to be born, they got to live, they got to get saved. And so the Lord is going to delay that coming until all of the elect, that which he elected before the foundation of the world, is elected and saved. Amen? So his heart is from generation to generation. Look at Psalm 103. We're nearing closing. Psalm 103, appreciate your patience. Psalm 103, verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 103, verse 19. I get excited learning about God, about my God, my Father, my Heavenly Father.
You see what I'm saying?
Glory be to God. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. You can just close it up right there. That's crystal clear.
Amen.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over half the people. All. Three quarters?
All.
All black people?
All.
All white people?
All.
Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Amen. All. Hallelujah. Everybody is under God's sovereign control.
Yes, sir.
Love that verse there. Psalm 115.
Yeah.
Psalm 115, verse 3. Psalm 115, verse 3. And I'm going through these on purpose, write them all down.
Amen.
Meditate them. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens.
Uh-huh.
He does all that he pleases. Remember the introduction? He does as he pleases, uh-huh. Only as he pleases, always as he pleases. Here it is in the Word of God. He does all that he pleases.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 6. Mm. Psalm 135, verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Where? In the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. So even things that's under the sea. And that, you know, even stuff that we don't even see that's a mile deep in the water, he even doing all of that too. I'm controlling it all. Glory be to God. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. This is the sovereignty of God concerning the steps or the life of an individual, the way that he takes. Proverbs 16, 9. The heart of man plans his way. The heart, the mind, the intellect, the emotions of man plans his way, comma. But the Lord establishes, which means to direct, lead, and guide his steps. Man plans, well, I'm going to do this. Yeah. But God isn't, hey, you're going this way.
Right.
You plan to go down 94 and then come on up East Road and make that left on Van Horn. And God got you on 696 headed toward Port Huron. Completely the other way. You make your plans in pencil. Give God the eraser. So the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord is the one who's going to direct, lead, and guide his steps. Remember, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Skip down to verse 33 of same chapter, verse 33, Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That's why there's no such a thing as coincidence or luck or chance.
Right.
The lot is cast, even when you throw them balls in the alley. Ha! Mama need a new pair of shoes. Ha! God knows every single possibility of that way that die can go. It says here, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. I hope we find confidence and comfort and joy in this. There is no oops for God. Man, it's a billion things happening. It's over 7 billion people on the earth. Man, you know, if I slip up one time, you got to give me that. You know, I'm doing pretty good. No, that's not God. Everything. There's not one rogue molecule floating out here by itself doing its own thing.
Amen.
Not one. Look at Proverbs 21. So that, remember that verse, put a star by that one for those who want to talk about luck and chance and coincidence. No, every decision is from the Lord. There's no luck, there's no chance, there's no coincidence. Every decision. Luck, remember we said it earlier, luck, chance, coincidence implies that there is no prime movement, that there is just by chance. There's no one actually behind those outcomes. You follow me? Those are words to discredit God and his authority and his sovereignty. Proverbs 21, did I say that?
Yeah.
Verse 1. King James said, the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. Turns out where he will. So the ESV, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. You know, your hand got all kind of lines in it.
Yeah.
You can kind of guide that thing wherever you want it to fall out this way or this way. That's what let me tell you something. Your manager, your supervisor, don't look crazy at him or her when you didn't get raised. It was God. See, you ain't gonna get it, you don't deserve it, or you don't need it, or whatever. Or when you get it, it was God who said it was fine. The supervisor, not only the king is a figure of authority who has the ability to make decisions. So it's an authority figure with the ability to make decisions. Ultimately, the decision making is really in the hand of God. That's what it's telling you, not in that particular individual. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Amen.
It's not the supervisor. It's not the manager. It's in the hand of God. God moves on that person. And if God wants you to be to this job or have this or this and the other, then it will God, it's God who will do that. Like, for example, a fella, when the owner leaves, fella becomes the owner in a sense. He's all duties and responsibilities. Gets on his nerves a little bit because it's not his style. But that's high praise because of the fact that he trusts him to that degree to run his entire business while he's gone. When a fella got hurt last year with his knee and was out and for all those months, that owner did not go on his usual vacation. He stayed. Didn't trust other folks. That's high praise. That's what God does. Never fret or look crazy at somebody else because you didn't get a raise. You didn't get this. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I'm running this. And I'll turn it whichever way I will.
Amen.
Wherever I please, that's where I'm going to turn it. That's the outcome is going to be. Once again, the heart, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. One more. And we'll stop. We'll stop there. We'll stop there. Father God, thank you for clarity in your word concerning your sovereignty. You've made this crystal clear. Crystal clear. And we have more to come. We thank you for your sovereignty. It is the pillow upon which we lay our heads at night and rest in it. It is the blanket under which we sleep and find comfort. You are in charge, Father God, and we thank you for it. In the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus, let the church say amen.
Amen.